Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And there's the Lord's Prayer. And if you hold your hand there, I want you to look over at the Gospel of Luke for a moment. And I want you to see Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, page 1196. Luke 11, verse 2. So he said, when you pray, say. Now what's the difference? When you pray, say. Verse 9 of chapter 6 of Matthew. In this manner, therefore, pray. You see what the difference is? The one says, this is the way you ought to pray, using this as a model. Pray in this way. The other one says, when you pray, you are to actually repeat this prayer. So you see, both things are true. The Lord's Prayer is a marvelous prayer because it teaches us how to pray. Each of these petitions gives us direction about how we ought to pray. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, in this manner, after this fashion, in this way, using this as a model for the kinds of things you ought to pray about, pray this way. But in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, two different contexts, by the way. In Matthew chapter 6, he's giving a sermon, you see, and in Luke chapter 11, now it came to pass, verse 1, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say. Do you pray the Lord's Prayer? Do you say the Lord's Prayer? You know, I'm amazed at this. Having gone to the Piccadilly of churches, that is, throughout the course of my Christian life, I sampled a lot of things. When I'm on vacation, I like to go to different churches and different denominations. I just like to try different cuisine when I worship, as I do food. And it's amazing. There are churches that if you are part of that church and you walk into a church where they actually repeat the Lord's Prayer in worship, they think that you're some kind of bad people, that you're not Spirit-led, and that you're just I don't know, quenching the Spirit of God if you repeat this prayer. But notice, that's an attitude that goes contrary to the explicit teachings of Christ, who said, when you pray, say this. That's important. When you pray, say this. Say this prayer. So you're to say the Lord's Prayer. You're to pray it using these exact words, according to what Christ told His disciples in Luke 11:2. But in Matthew chapter 6, which is our text, he says, this is the way you ought to pray. Use this as a model. These are the kinds of things. So there's a lot to meditate on here. Now, let's see what his point is. Notice in verse 8, we've already covered, in our going through this book, we've already covered the thing about secrecy. You need to be secret and cryptic in your private piety. You need to not flaunt it. You need to try to avoid it. But when you are noticed doing things, you need to learn how to deflect praise so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But today we want to focus on these words of Christ in verse 7 and 8. When you pray, page 1117, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. And what I want you to understand is that when you actually pray the Lord's Prayer, you're not violating this under certain situations. Notice that prepositional phrase, under certain situations. He says, when you pray, say this prayer. When you pray, pray like this. But then he's warning us about vain repetitions. Now, it's interesting that right there in that Pew Bible, you'll notice a reference at the end of that verse, verse 7, Matthew 6, 7, refers us to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 26. Let's see what Jesus is talking about here. So, holding your hand there, turn back in the Old Testament to 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's get it in its context. That's page 412, and this isn't going to be a long sermon. We're almost done. That's preacher talk, isn't it, Bob? Yeah, it is. It's called hyperbole. Maybe it's hooperbole. Hoopobole. Look at what we have here in verse 20. 1 Kings 18:20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. So here are the Israelites. They have given in to a false religion that is carnal, reject Scripture for its guide, and in essence is a replacement religion. And it's come in among the people of God. And God has raised up Elijah. And the country has been under a terrible judgment of God for 3.5 years. And it's climaxing at this point. King Ahab himself is here. And we see there are all these false prophets who receive support from their established religion. Remember that every country in the world has an established religion. Under the days of Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev, Kosygin, what? It was the Marxist religion. Marxism, inverted Hegelianism, worships something in terms of man himself. And the state, the Marxist state, the dictatorship of the proletariat. Everyone has a religion. What is religion? You don't have to be a theist to be religious. Buddhism doesn't believe in a personal God. And so every state has an established religion. And it's what's enforced. And what's happened in America in my lifetime is we've switched from one established religion to another, slowly. But because we don't identify it in our minds with religion, because we think religion is getting dressed up and coming into a funny kind of building, sitting there for an hour and you sing old songs. We identify religion that way rather than understanding what religion really is your ultimate concern. It's the core thing that you orient your life around. It doesn't have to be God. So here is Elijah coming against the prophets of Baal. And he said to the people of God, and they've become so concerned about being politically correct, they can't open their mouths. How long will you falter between two opinions? It's kind of like the Hebrew word is a picture of somebody walking on two different surfaces that are not equal. And so they're kind of, you know how it would be, you know, wow. And he said, how long will you do this? And so when they don't answer, listen to what Elijah says in verse 22. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. That's a good test. Show us which established religion is true. How do you prove it? Well, which God answers by fire? I can tell you that in my life, in prayer, I've experienced over the decades, my God answers by fire. And so that's Elijah's challenge to them. He allows them to do all of the selections. There are no magic tricks. There's no card up the sleeve here. They choose the bull, all of this stuff. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for ye are many. You are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them. Is there a place for sacrilegious jokes? Absolutely. I love a good sacrilegious joke, don't you? Come on. Don't give me that phony hypocrisy. A good religious joke on somebody else's religion is very, very funny. And this is what he's doing. Look at what he says. And you can just hear him up there. And these guys have been going on. It's worse than a woman in labor, in spite of the Pitocin. And it's just going on and on and on and on. And where we go, oh my goodness. You know, what is this going to happen? Going on and on and on. So about this time, they're getting pretty frustrated. And Elijah mocks them. Cry aloud. And he's mocking them in front of the children of Israel. So the children of Israel will pick up what he's really getting at in the mockery. Listen to what he says. Cry aloud. Either he is meditating, or he is on the commode, which is what he is probably saying in Hebrew in that next clause, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. Can you imagine your God on the toilet? You see it, it's right here in the text. It says he's busy, you know. He's involved in, well, I won't go too far with that. But he's mocking them. And this is actually what he's saying here. He's saying, you know, he's a God after all, right? And, you know, maybe he's meditating. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, no, what am I going to do? Yeah. Don't gods act like that way? You know, you read some of the Greek mythology, you know, and you've got this philandering Zeus, you know, and his wife, she's going to get him. It's almost like reading. It's almost like reading a comedy on TV. You could really turn it into a comedy when you take the Olympian gods, because they're just like us. You know, he's meditating. Oh no! I'm caught now. What am I? I'll turn myself into a swan. I know what I'll do. He's meditating, or he's busy. He's in the situation room. There he is. I'll be out in a minute. Out in a minute. Or he's on a journey. On a pilgrimage. Going to see some interesting things. Or maybe he's sleeping. I mean, they get tired, don't they? You know? But he who keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Is that right? Amen. The God that answers by fire neither slumbers nor sleeps. But Baal does, especially after a long day in the toilet. Man, I should have never stopped in at that Greek restaurant at the foot of Mount Olympus. Boy, that was some bad hummus. No, wait a minute. Hummus. No, hummus. Oh, okay. You know, you got to get those three straighter, because if you don't understand the difference in hummus and hummus, you may end up becoming humus. So there you go. So there's the poor Greek god Zeus, or in this case Baal, nature god, stranded in the toilet. Now he needs afterwards to take a long nap. Verse 28. See, there's the background to understand the verse. So they cried aloud. See what Elijah's sacrilegious humor did? He got them really worked up. Now they're desperate. Oh my gosh, what are we going to Do you get the picture? I'm acting it out a little bit, but I'm not going to act it out too far, because look at what happens next. And so they cried aloud. I mean, they're screaming, yelling, hollering. Whoa, get off the pot! Hurry up, Baal! Wake up! And I'm sure you did too. And cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. See, they're praying it over and over again. They think they're going to be heard because of their many prayers. Over and over again. And they think, if I can just get God to see I'm sincere, oh, if I can just sacrifice enough. I had a friend, and he was a fine man. And he was a great pastor, but he wasn't a good preacher. But he was my pastor for a period of time. And his call to the ministry didn't really happen. He was an American soldier in World War II, captured by the Germans, and was in one of those Stalags, in one of those German POW camps. And here was his call to ministry. God, if you get me out of here, I'll do anything. I'll become a preacher. That was his call to preach. Don't ever promise God you're going to do something because you're suffering. First of all, you have no power to live up to your promises. But secondly, and this is the big point, you don't need to. You see? They scream, they holler, they cut themselves with knives and lances. The blood is flowing. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill," he's got other people doing this, you see, "fill 4 water pots with water." No tricks. "You fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. 3 and 7, very important biblical numbers. So the water ran all around the altar and was also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, and what did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6? When you pray, don't keep on repeating the same words over and over and over and over and over again. Why? There's one reason. God's your Father. He loves you. He's far more eager to answer your prayers than you are to pray them. And that's exactly what we see in this story. What a contrast of paganism with its trust in itself, with its own sacrifices, with its own pleadings and afflictions and repetition over and 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 over again. See, in some faiths, they decided to write the prayers out, put them on a wheel, and then some clever person set up a device and they could put it on a stream so that as the stream flowed, the prayer wheel would turn around. Does that seem a little bit odd to you? Would you see, if you're going to be heard by God because of who you are and your earnestness and your sacrifice and your repetition, well, I guess it makes sense. But look at what he does. And just look at this. Jesus is telling us when we pray, we need to pray like Elijah. That's what he's really telling us. Look at what he does. Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Look back quickly at Matthew 6 and we're done. Do you see that Jesus is teaching us that's how we're to pray? We don't pray like the prophets of Baal. We pray like Elijah, who simply responded to the promises of God and in a quiet, simple, short prayer said, "Lord, this is what I want you to do." And God did it. And notice what Jesus says on page 1117 in verse 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the prophets of Baal do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask Him." I close with these words. So many people have such a twisted view of God, as if He is Zeus on Mount Olympus towering tops, ready to throw a lightning bolt in our direction. The moment you get out of line, "I got that one, filthy sinner. Here's another one." Is that your picture of God? If that's your picture of God, like the prophets of Baal, then you got to do all these sacrifices, slashing your flesh, showing God how sincere you are, over and over and over and over and over again praying. But you're to pray like Elijah. Why? Because God is your Father. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to forgive your sins. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants you to draw near to Him so He can put His loving, fatherly arms around you and say to you, "It is well." One of the things that happened to me yesterday, and it was such a beautiful thing, every time I went into the room when my daughter was in labor, she always asked me to pray. "Please pray for me, Daddy." And I did, every time, every time. And then I saw something at the end that I knew I will never know as a male, and no male here knows, and no young women know. When I saw my grandson being held in my daughter's arm, I saw such a picture of serenity, even though he was crying. I saw such a picture of serenity I have never seen on her face before in 40 years. Wow. And that's the point I want to make. God loves you as a loving Father. He wants to put you in a place where you are happy, at peace, and serene in Him. Do you know Him? Let's pray. Lord, I pray you will take these words, this story from the Old Testament of the prophets of Baal and how they prayed and how Jesus taught us to pray. Would you give us, when we come to pray, to appeal to only one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus, and to come trusting that it's not on the basis of who we are, but on the basis of who you are, that we will have our prayers heard and answered in a far better way than we can imagine as we specifically ask for specific things. I pray for everyone here to know you as Father through Jesus Christ. Amen.